Hi, I'm Kim Blaufuss, owner of the highly acclaimed Chinese medical facility in Woodland, Washington, Best Acupuncture. I want to thank you for being with us today on Touchdown to Health, where we explore together different health issues affecting you and your health. As always, I found that there is always more than one truth when getting to the truth about your health. And I encourage you to seek out and use more than one type of practitioner when working on your own health. In today's market-driven healthcare industry, it's important that you treat your health like your own corporation, because your health is important, and in order to maintain your corporation, you're going to need more than one high-level VP to assist you. Today, we're talking with Dr. Daniel Chung. Dr. Chung is a licensed naturopath practicing in Portland, Oregon since 2000. He is also a contributing editor in cardiology for the Natural Medicine Journal and a clinical consultant for Boston Heart Diagnostics Lab. I ran into Dr. Chung's work through mutual clients, and more specifically, his intravenous nutrient therapy and his work in nutritional cardiology to prevent and treat issues of the heart. Dr. Chung, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Kim. It's nice to be here.
Well, Dr. Chung, I've got a few questions to ask, and just to better understand your intravenous nutrient therapy, which was really such a creative way of addressing nutrient deficiency. So first off, what I'd like to ask you is, what got you into natural medicine and what got you to focus on cardiology?
Well, I grew up in the house of a physician. My father was a neurosurgeon, actually, and so I was the kid who always wanted to be the doctor, and loved the idea of taking care of people. And you know, anybody on the playground would fall down and hurt themselves, I'd be the first one there trying to figure out what happened. But when I got, as I got older, I started seeing some of the signs of shortcomings or things that I wasn't in agreement with the conventional medical field. And I started out college in pre-med, but was not super excited about it, and started almost immediately researching other avenues of healthcare that were more sort of felt better to me. And I was very, admittedly very naive about alternative medicine, having grown up in the house hold of a you know, high level surgeon. And I didn't know what naturopathic medicine was until I literally saw a poster on the wall in my one of the buildings in my college, and from the school here in Portland, Oregon. And this was pre-internet days, so I sent away for a flyer, and sent a little, you know, postcard away for a pamphlet from them, and was, as soon as I read like the first page, I was like, that is exactly what I want to do. So it was, I guess it was a mix of interest in healthcare and interest in helping people, but also this sort of general undetermined but obvious interest I had in sort of doing things more naturally and more preventively, etc. I got into what you might call nutritional cardiology or naturopathic cardiology about 5 years ago, because I realized just the work that I was doing in general, I was ending up focusing and I do a lot of lab work. I do a lot of assessment and risk assessment with people, and it's such a common thing. It comes up over and over again, and I wanted to learn more and more about it. And as I did, I became more and more interested in it, and so I don't purely focus on that by any means, but it's a continued interest of mine, I would definitely call it a primary avenue through which I help people.
So I wanted to ask you a unique question, which you've probably been asked many times before, being that your father was a physician, and then you went into naturopathic medicine at, you know, you were doing that still at a time where, you know, we're kind of the crazy witch doctors. And I'm wondering, how did your father take to that?
Well, you know, to give him a lot of credit, I always told him that he would have made a great naturopathic doctor, because while he was a very refined and skilled surgeon and spent all of his time learning how to do that, he was the person who instilled in me the ideas of preventive health in general, in terms of always making sure you exercise, always making sure you eat right, even though in retrospect, not all of his nutritional ideas I think were accurate. He definitely instilled the idea of eating well and not eating a lot of junk food. And so he himself was a very healthy person all, you know, through his whole life. And so while he wasn't necessarily familiar with naturopathic medicine and wasn't necessarily a proponent of me going that route, he was very understanding of the importance of it, and so we kind of he was very open. His only concern was really just, and it was partially, you know, quite accurate, it was just the difficulty that comes with trying to pursue a career in a sort of more fringe area, in terms of like lack of respect from the general medical community, more difficulty trying to, you know, prove what you're doing is right, etc. So he was very aware of that, and that was his primary area, sort of his primary argument, so to speak, was like that he didn't want me to have that type of difficulty. So he tried to convince me to go to conventional medical school and then go into that area afterwards. But I'm a stubborn I was a stubborn kid, and now I'm a stubborn adult, and so I still decided to do things the way I did, and it worked out fine. And he's now in his almost 80 years old, and all he reads about is natural medicine. So it's come full circle, I guess you could say.
That's fantastic, and I know your clients and your future clients really appreciate that you stayed focused. So, Dr. Yeah. Chung, here's another question I have for you, and this is probably the crux of it. You do an intravenous nutrient therapy, which I find incredibly fascinating. Can you help me better understand this therapy and why we would use it and what it helps?
Sure. It's actually a very, it's been used for a long time. Much longer than probably most people realize, because there's still not too many doctors out there that do it. But you know, coming from the naturopathic background, my initial sort of approach and philosophy to treatment, etc., was very much like very purist, so to speak. And you know, all we need is light, fresh air, clean water, good food, herbal medicines. You know, just provide the body what it needs, and it should be well. And in many cases, that works. But as I went into practice and started being faced with the reality of trying to help people, and versus more when you're in school, you're just learning the philosophy and how wonderful it sounds, I started realizing that some people, for various reasons, were not going to get better with just those things. And it may be because some people were unwilling to make the changes that they needed to make to get better. That's probably the most common. But other people also would come to see me who, for one reason or another, were going to have a very difficult time sort of getting ahead of the curve in spite of doing those things. And so I became more and more interested in, first, in just nutritional medicine in general, in terms of using more concentrated nutrients.
Dr. Chung, can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
because I hear what you're saying, and then I'm also wondering, besides not willing to make a change or willing to make a change, and there's some constitutional factor, you know, there's another aspect that I see too, is just what we have available today. We might think we have clean water because it comes through our faucet, but it's not clean water. We might think we have nutritious food because it says organic, but our soil quality, you know, we've been using the soil so much for so long, they're not as nutritious. And I'm wondering...
Absolutely.
Okay, so you see that can be an issue too, lifestyle.
Absolutely. I mean, probably the most frequently utilized nutrient that I administer intravenously would be magnesium, and possibly vitamin C as a second, you know, close second. But I talk to people about that all the time, in the sense that, you know, it is absolutely true that our food, especially our soil quality and the food that we are now able to produce, is simply less nutritious. And certain nutrients are apparently diminishing in concentration in our food supply more quickly than others. And magnesium is one of those that's really dropping quite quickly. So for that reason, and especially also, I would say two other primary issues that people tend to have that they almost always benefit from, that from like an intravenous magnesium treatment, is when they have chronic digestive disorders and when they have severe stress.
So,
and, you know, as all of us healthcare practitioners know, severe stress is, from any angle, is an extremely difficult thing to treat, because you can't almost ever, you know, just get rid of the source of it. And the source may be in the person's own head, or it may be circumstantial or whatever, but we know that high levels of stress cause a direct depletion of magnesium. And so when those two things are present in somebody, and then you couple that with the fact that the food, even if they eat a good quality diet, they may not be getting enough, it starts becoming more and more difficult to supply a sufficient amount, especially when their tank is empty, so to speak. And the other thing is that, while obviously if somebody has chronic digestive issues, they're not going to do a very good job of digesting, breaking down and absorbing food or oral supplements of magnesium or other nutrients. But also, even those people who are highly stressed, they may not have a chronic diagnosable digestive condition, but guaranteed they are also not digesting their food very well. So they're actually tend to be the worst case scenario, because they don't tend to break down and assimilate magnesium from their food or supplements, and then they lose it literally out of their urine more rapidly when they are under stress. So they can't get it in, and they're pushing it all out, and so they become depleted quite quickly. And long story short, working with those types of people more and more, I started realizing that sometimes I would have to do things that were a little bit outside of the classic naturopathic approach in order to right the ship, so to speak. And I learned, you know, over time, I learned about intravenous nutrient therapy, and that's the doctors I learned that from originally. That's the primary reasons that they use it. And there are certain medical conditions that you need to literally flood people with certain nutrients to just try to get them to function normally at all. But those two primary issues were the ones taught to me as the key reasons to use that type of medicine.
You know,
so obviously with intravenous nutrients, you bypass the need for the digestive system to be involved at all. It's just going straight into your bloodstream. And so it's an obvious solution.
You know, I think that's an awesome, awesome thing to highlight, because the reality is there are going to be some people that realistically their uptake of nutrition is just so poor that there's just no way they're going to be able to orally supplement the nutrition that they need, whether they're taking whatever types of supplements they're taking. And I think that's been one of the toughest things that I've run into when working with certain people, is their inability to uptake nutrition no matter what's going on. So
And the other unique thing about magnesium specifically is that if you go to, as I'm sure you know, and I'm sure some people out there know, if you get beyond a certain point with your dose orally, you'll have diarrhea anyways. So it's a very unique nutrient in that regard, because it takes a decent amount to sort of flood your system. When you are depleted, you have to flood your system to reestablish your cellular magnesium levels. And you literally cannot get there orally. Even if you could digest enough of it, you still need so much of it that, if you're really depleted, you still need so much of it that in order to obtain that orally, you'd have to flood the system with so much that the person would get diarrhea anyways, and they wouldn't be able to absorb it. So it's a catch-22 in some situations. And I'm very thankful that I can provide another route, so to speak.
So here's another question that I have, just listening to your conversation. Why are we seeing magnesium levels drop dramatically in the environment?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't really know. I don't know if it has to, it may have to do with the change in the methods used for agricultural practices, where, you know, as with anything in this world these days, shortcuts are welcomed if they save money and still produce a relatively usable product.
And that's so a good point, yes.
I think that there's a lot less attention and focus placed on optimizing soil health and all the things that go into that, and just making sure plants grow. And, you know, if they can get plants to grow on two or three nutrients rather than an array of them, then they're not going to do the thing that takes more time, more money, and more resources. And so it's just probably, I believe it's just an unfortunate, additional result of this classic, like, make as much money as possible for as cheap as possible approach that we have in a wide range of business, et cetera, out there. So that would be my guess, but I wouldn't be able to say that with 100% certainty.
Okay. Hey, so just out of curiosity, from my perspective, how long does your average client go use IV therapy?
That's a great question, and it's entirely individual. So I give a lot of people intravenous nutrients, especially magnesium, because, again, a lot of people are stressed and have digestive issues. And so, you know, I kind of screen people, so to speak, initially when I talk to them. And the more symptoms that they have that I think could be attributable to magnesium deficiency, the more likely I am going to be suggesting they try that. And, you know, occasionally I will run into people who are just simply not eating well. And I always encourage, obvious changes in the fundamental things that are important for health to be present in somebody. But if they don't respond as well as I'd like to see them, then we'll talk about the intravenous treatments. But the point is that some people have a much more significant need than others. And so it's totally variable. Some people, I literally give them maybe three treatments over the course of a month. And it's like they had an empty tank that we filled, and then they're good. And then they use their healthy diet and oral supplements to then keep that tank topped off, so to speak. But they couldn't get it filled without the IVs. And yet there's a small subset of patients that I see who, for a variety of reasons, their tank, it's like they have a leak. And even when we fill their tank up and they feel better and they're eating well and they're taking supplements, et cetera, the level starts to drop slowly again. And we identify these people just simply by, you know, the impressive effects that the treatment has, where they can clearly tell that they feel better, and then it starts to wear off. And I looked into some research in that, and there are a couple of conditions that people can literally be born with, where in one case, for example, people can have a genetic SNP or defect, so to speak, or mutation for an enzyme that's involved in literally taking magnesium up from the digestive tract into your bloodstream. So they just simply genetically don't do it as well as they should. And so that those people are always going to be at a disadvantage, regardless of how well they eat, regardless of what supplements they take, et cetera. And it's not an easy thing to test for. So I just assume that something like that may be going on in these people who are sort of unusually in need. And then there's another condition that's a little more well-known called Gittleman's syndrome that is not common, but it is a condition where their kidneys spill or lose magnesium more than they're supposed to. And so that's that classic leak idea. And so those people, I have probably, I would guess about 3 or 4 of those people in my practice where it does not matter how good of a job they do with everything else. They, over the course of time, and it's usually somewhere between 1 to 2 months, they begin to have that need arise. And they just come back in and get sort of filled up, so to speak, again, and then they're good. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, and the symptoms that occur in these people are various. There's definitely, magnesium affects so many different things that it's, like I have one patient, for example, who has an arrhythmia in their heart. And as over time, the arrhythmia will start to come back, in spite of being very good with her diet, very good with oral supplementation. She's able to hold it at bay, so to speak, but over time, it starts to creep up again, then she comes back and gets another IV. I have another patient who has anxiety and just chronic tension, you know, and this is a lifelong issue that she's had, and she always tells me that she's so sad about how much money she spent on therapists when really she thinks she just needed magnesium. And she'll come in about every 2 months and just get an IV, and immediately she feels better, like literally getting out of the chair, calmer, and she sleeps better and that type of thing. And there's some other people with muscle tension or tension headaches and that type of thing who appear to need it as well. So it's really varied. It's really, really varied.
You know, I think you bring up a number of fantastic points. You know, the first one that I heard was these non-specific symptoms that are not going to be diagnosed as disease in Western medicine. And yet, for the people that have this, it is very, very significant. So, you know, your client that has the emotional concerns when she is low on magnesium, how they feel that is usually so much more significant than just your average person.
And right.
Yeah, and so I think that I think one of the issues that comes up is there's just so much yet to learn in Western medicine. And that's where I say you need more than one type of practitioner, because if that was all you were going to do, then you're going to miss this whole array of stuff that could be changed and your life could be better. The other thing that I see is this similarity with Chinese medicine, where Chinese medicine, they look at, you know, its focus was based off of Taoism, which was a philosophy, and the biggest part of that philosophy was everything in balance. And from just talking to you, the emotional concerns are always the biggest issue to identify that you're out of balance in Chinese medicine. And, you know, it's one of the key areas that I focus in, and I hear that a lot. They will be in counseling, and 3 to 6 months later, all those concerns have suddenly disappeared because now they're back in balance.
Right. Yeah, and that's how it should be, right? Even, I mean, people sticking with the sort of mental emotional plane, people naturally tend to separate that from the rest of the body, and sort of like the physical versus the mental. But in my opinion, you know, psychological symptoms are yet another symptom. Just like somebody else might have a stomach ache or a rash or whatever, if you have certain imbalances going on in your system for whatever reason, of which there are countless, and you are who you are, that may manifest more on the psychological plane, but it doesn't, nobody has an antidepressant medication deficiency, right? So,
right.
And yet the approach with those people is just to treat the, it's you know, psychiatry or whatever is probably the most allopathic approach of all. It's just like, what is your symptom? Okay, what drug will make that go away, when it's clearly not addressing the problem? So,
well, and it doesn't. I'm just going to look at this from a little bit different perspective, because what you're saying is fine too, but it really doesn't make it go away. What it does is it masks it.
No. Right, exactly. And so I think the highest ideal in medicine is to do, whether it's via Chinese medicine like you described or whatever, there are obviously multiple ways to do it as you alluded to, but the highest ideal in medicine is to help a person's body function better and then watch the symptoms melt away on their own as a result of that. And sometimes they need Chinese herbs and needles, sometimes they need a certain nutrient that they're not getting, sometimes they need everything, you know, but the point is that what they don't need, quote unquote, is that drug.
Right.
Because that's not going to solve the problem.
Right, right.
So it's a, yeah, I totally agree.
and you know, then some of the difficulties come from medicating for so long. You know, I get clients in, and just from a pain perspective, that they've been upgraded to opiates and they've been on them for some time.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that they get in pain from being on opiates, there's very little that you can do to reduce that. They've taken Western medicine way past its effective date, and now they're going to be in constant pain for the rest of their life. So,
right.
You know, there's always a risk to masking instead of addressing things. And I get it. We have a crazy, hectic lifestyle. But sometimes you have to just determine how valuable you are. Are you worth having a comfortable, pain-free, happy existence or not?
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. How valuable are you? Exactly.
Hey, Dan, well, Dr. Chung, what I'm curious, what are your key takeaways that you would want to share with new or prospective clients?
Well, you know, in regards to this topic, my approach or my opinion, and as I've, it's just getting more and more focused on this as I go along, is that we are in charge of our own health. And I'm not a healer. I don't put my hands on people and make them better. I definitely consider myself more of a teacher, or somebody who helps, especially these days, sift through the, you know, amazing array of information out there on the internet to try to find things that are accurate and are gonna be helpful. But I definitely believe that there is no simple solution. There's nothing in a pill, there's nothing in an intravenous nutrient injection that's going to make an unhealthy person well without a foundation of health being in place. And it's nobody wants to really hear that, because that takes effort. And it may take effort that people feel incapable of putting forth, even if they wanted to. But something is always going to be better than nothing in that regard, and the more people are able to do in terms of the classic foundational needs that a human body has, the better off they're going to be. And I look at treatments like intravenous nutritional therapy as a, hopefully, a temporary aid and or nudge in the right direction that they're not going to need eventually. And I tell people that all the time. It's almost that classic saying of, like, you know, if you do well, that means you don't come back to see me. It means you figured it out and you're good.
That's amazing.
Really how, yeah, that's really how we're all meant to be. You don't see a lion in the wild going to the lion doctor, right? If they get what they need, they're pretty good. And they all tend to age similarly. They all tend to die of similar conditions, which are not heart disease. They are not diabetes. They are not so on and so forth. They just age and then they're done. And that's really how it should be if all is, we're no different in that regard, even though we are in other ways. And so that's kind of the main point that I try to put forth, and it changes obviously from case to case and what's going on with each person, but it's a foundational idea that I try to approach my practice from. And that's why, you know, I love the idea of Chinese medicine and acupuncture, et cetera, or Qigong, so on and so forth, because I consider those foundational in a way. We are, you know, in a world of, we're swimming in a sea of unnatural energy
right.
these days,
right?
And doing things that are going to improve the flow of our own personal energy and that type of thing. We didn't necessarily even used to have to do that nearly as much, but now I can't imagine how important that is. And so, you know, while I do intravenous magnesium treatments, I know that those are going to help with certain things, but I just believe in, you know, these foundational things even more powerfully, because they're going to be what keeps the system going and that type of thing.
Wow, Dr. Chung, I have to tell you, I feel incredibly blessed to be able to talk with so many different really talented practitioners that are doing so many different unique things that help us get our health at the point where we want it to be. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to talk with me and our audience today. And I wish you a beautiful day.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate what you're doing out there and trying to build this awareness. And hopefully this gets to be a bigger and bigger and bigger thing for you, because I think it's going to just mean better things for the people out there.
Thanks a lot. This is Kim Blaufuss with Best Acupuncture in Woodland, Washington, thanking you for being with us today.